All right. How's everybody this evening? Is it ringing? It's a little hot, huh? Okay. I'm the only one, so I had to go fix it. Do what? Cold? Is that better? I didn't turn it off. I turned it on low. Thank you. All right. That better? All right. Everybody doing okay tonight? All right. Well, Brother Brandon was going to be here tonight, and then his boss reminded him yesterday that he had a commitment this evening. And that he needed to be at. So he called me and said, "Hey, can you take tomorrow night?" I said, "Yeah, I guess." And so it's me tonight. It's me, Lord. What have I ever done? Now I got to wait for this to come on because I didn't turn it on. All right. Let's all pray. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for the privilege and the honor to be here tonight, Lord, to look into your word and study your word tonight. Lord, and I ask you in Jesus' name to continue to touch Brother Hall and his healing, Lord. And he tells me he's doing a lot better, and he's looking forward to hopefully to be here Sunday. And he is doing good and is doing his therapy good. And Lord, I just thank you for that. Continue to heal, let his leg heal, and let it heal quickly and properly. And Lord, in Jesus' name, just keep the pain away. And we just thank you for that. And Lord, I ask you to let your anointing be here tonight. Let your blessings be upon this Bible study, Lord, as we look into some more of Psalms 119. And Lord, just let your blessings be upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We're going to look at 119, starting with 25. And this section is, I'm not sure the proper pronunciation. One deal I looked at, it's D-A-L-E-T-H. But one pronunciation looked like you leave the H off, it's delete. Whether it's delete or deleth, I don't know. But anyway, and I looked it up. Delet. Okay. That works. And the definition of that is the door. It's a door. And it symbolizes opportunities, transitions, and access to new realms or experiences, both physically and spiritually. And so, you know, a door, we think of a door opens and it closes. It opens to allow either someone in or allows you to go out. It also closes to keep someone out or to keep you in and keep you safe. So, I mean, there's, you can look at it from both sides there. But let's start with, now, kind of like last time that I did the other section, kind of breaking it down. And what it is I've got a, on my computer at home, I've got let's see, what's it called? Anyway, it's a Bible study that I downloaded or that I bought, and I've had it for several years. Really enjoyed it. It's a good study tool, and it has concordances, and it has, you know, where I can cross-reference, and it's pretty easily to cross-reference, and you can cross-reference different sections of each verse, and so that's where I do that. That's where I get that. Do what? No. Whoever put that together was smart. I got it when I was just beginning. Yeah, a long time ago when I was just beginning to start ministering and preaching some. I thought, well, I got to have something to help, you know. And so I bought that. Okay, so we're going to start with verse 25a, which is like the first half. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. And, you know, as I looked at that, it's kind of referencing earthly desires. Because our flesh wants to be a part of this earth. Because where did we come from? We came from the earth. God made us from the earth, and it, and just naturally, our flesh desires the things of this world, and it's, we have to overcome those things. And Philippians 3:18-19 says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." Then in Colossians 3:1-2, can't read, says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So we've got to pull ourselves out of the situation of desiring and get our flesh under control, and to keep it from desiring and following after the things of the world. 25b says, quicken thou me according to thy word. And I feel like that's us longing for spiritual awareness, because our plan in our life is to follow after the Lord. If that's what our goal is, then we want to have spiritual awareness, because we want to understand the Spirit so we can allow the Spirit to lead us in everything that we do. Psalms 71:20 says, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. I'm using a lot of scriptures, and it's amazing how much, though we're in Psalms 119, a lot of the scripture references to this chapter is in Psalms. And there's a lot of them in Psalms. Psalms 80 and 18 says, so will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Even in the same chapter, Psalms 119:37 says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. These are a lot of these verses, most of these verses right here are talking about quickening. Quicken me, Lord, quicken me in thy ways. Psalms 119 and 40 says, behold, I have longed after thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness. And in 37 it said, quicken me quicken thou me in thy way. This verse said, quicken me in thy righteousness. And then in Psalms 119:88 it says, quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. And then in 119:107 says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Quicken me in your word. Quicken me so that I understand your word, so that I receive and know your word. 119:49 says, hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgment. So there's several areas there that he's saying, Lord, quicken me in these, in loving kindness and judgment, in their word and righteousness. Psalms 143:11 says, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. So, you know, we can look at all of those areas where he's saying, quicken me, and we want to be quickened in all those areas so that we're following hard after the Lord, so that we're in attentive to him and what he's trying to tell us and where he's trying to lead us, so that we're not following after the things of the flesh and this world. Verse 26, the first part, A, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. It's like he declared his ways. He confessed his sins. He confessed his shortcomings to the Lord. Lord, you know, here I am. I'm just me. And he confessed those things, and then he's said, the Lord heard me. In other words, he forgave him. Psalms 32:5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. That means, think about it. What? I'm getting comments from my wife and I'm not even hearing what they are. Oh me. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I mean, that's Old Testament. That's the same thing as repentance. I mean, that is repentance. That's going right to the Lord and saying, Lord, here I am. I'm here. This is my sins. Of course, he knows. He already knows, but he wants us to confess them. He wants us to present those things before him. And then we'll receive mercy. 26b says, teach me thy statutes. Psalms 25:4-5 says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Man, that's powerful. because that's where we want to live. Lord, show me your ways. Show me your paths. Lead me in that, in your truth. Teach me. Because he is the God of our salvation. Psalm 25, 8 and 9 says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Psalms 86 and 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. In other words, to reverence my name. The word fear there is not be afraid, but it's to reverence. Psalms 119 and 12 says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Psalm 143 and 8 through 10 says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You know, there's so many good things, you know, and when you really start, you know, it's one thing to read the word, and that's wonderful, and we need to read it. But when you really start breaking it down and looking at even just little sections like that and seeing where it references to, I mean, there's no better place to explain the Bible than the Bible, you know. The word explains itself. Somewhere in there, it's going to explain it. Verse 27, now this one I didn't break down. It says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. We've got to tell folks about him and about the wonderful works and wonderful things that he's done for us. That's right. That's right. That is exactly right. Psalm 71, 17 through 18 says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Just because we get older and we get a little gray-haired and things are slowing down, you know, and we don't move as fast as we used to, doesn't change the fact that we're to share God with, to share the Lord with everybody we see. Psalm 78 and 4 says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Psalm 105 and 2 says, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Sing unto him, sing psalms. We can do that any time. In the shower. In the car. Mowing the yard, riding on your mower. That's a good place. I like that. A little story about that. about doing that. When I was a kid, you know how you get in your mind, if something's noisy and loud, you think nobody can hear you. I was mowing, of course, you know, we just had a push mower, and I had that thing going. I don't know what I was singing. I was singing a church song, but I don't remember what. But I was just singing to the top of my lungs, boy, just singing and singing. A couple of days later, this friend of mine's mother, and they were way up the street. She said, "I enjoyed your singing." I'm like, "Oh, you heard me? Yeah, I heard you. That I enjoyed your singing over that lawnmower." I was like, needless to say, I didn't sing very loud anymore on the lawnmower. But nothing wrong with that. I just, you know, as a kid, I was embarrassed, you know. But I've caught myself even now out on the lawnmower. There's a lot of times I'm listening to the word or I'm listening to a message or something on my in my ears, you know, and I'll get to praising the Lord and then I'll think, wonder who's around. It's like, oh well, I don't care. But you know, we're supposed to shout it from the rooftops, you know, and declare the Lord and declare Jesus unto everyone. Okay, verse 28 and A says, "My soul melteth for heaviness." You know, I thought about that and I was like, my soul melteth for heaviness. In Joshua 2nd chapter 10 and 11, this is talking about the children of Israel and how the people thought of them when they were fixing to cross Jordan River. And actually, this is of what Rahab told the spies that went in. Said, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord, your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." And you know, what I got to thinking about is our enemy, the devil, should tremble just as much from us, because we should be that powerful. And we have the Spirit of God in us. And if we're walking in the Spirit, He should be just as afraid when we're around. It's kind of like the time that I can't remember the exact story where it's at, but when the devil jumped on some guys that were thinking they could handle what was going on, and the devil says, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?" Well, I want the devil to know who I am, because I want to walk in the authority of the Lord, and I want him to know who I am, and to know who, not just who I am, but to know who lives in me, because I'm not important, but God is. Jesus is, and I've got him in my soul. Psalm 22 and 14 says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. We need to take every chance we can to make the old devil's heart melt. Because he knows who God is. And he knows the Word. He knows the Word better than we do. 28b says, strengthen thou me according to thy word. Psalms 27 and 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah 40 and 29 says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. So no matter where you are, you know, if we cry out to God and we call on his name, he will help us and give us the power and the strength that we need to conquer whatever it is in front of us. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord, I love this scripture, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Man, that's a powerful scripture. That's powerful scripture. And if we just stand on that, no matter what we're facing, if we stand on that word, it's so encouraging. Because he says right there, he'll give you the strength that you need. Ephesians 3:16-19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, if it's possible, I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. I don't know if this old human body can handle that, but it says right there that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I wouldn't even dare to claim that I'm filled with all the fullness of God, but I sure do want to be. All that I can stand. Yeah. Huh? I know sometimes Brenda and I have experienced this several times, and I'm sure all of y'all have experienced the same thing. Sometimes we go and sing somewhere, and we get up and sing, and me and Brenda, when we sing, we're singing totally to the Lord. And we're giving it all to the Lord and hoping that someone out there is touched and received what the song is saying and their heart being touched. But there's been times that we have sang and then we had to hold on to each other to get off the platform or off the stage because the Spirit of the Lord was just so strong. It wasn't us, the Spirit of the Lord, but it was so strong on us that there was a couple of times I thought we was going to have to just find a spot to sit down before we got off. We made it, but you know, but it's such a wonderful feeling that the Lord just engulfs you with the Spirit so strongly that you get weak at the knees and you just And sometimes you just don't know what to do with yourself other than try to try to stay up. Verse 29a says, remove from me the way of lying. This is getting pretty strong, you know, because, you know, God wants us to be in a place where lying is not even a question. Psalms 119, 104 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. And that's the way it should be. You know, I know used to, and well, that's a little white lie. That's just a little bit off from the truth. No, if it's a little off, it's way off. And if it's a little white lie, it's a big lie. A lie is a lie, period. And should always live to for the truth to be in us. And no matter, sometimes it's not any fun to admit that, well, I did such and such, or, you know, whatever the case might be. It's hard to admit and to admit that fault. But truth is always better. Thing about the truth is you don't have to try and remember the lie you done told. Because next time around, you may not tell it the same. Now, I've seen people, seriously, I've seen people that lied so much that they believed their own lies and then thought it was the truth. And it's, you know, it's a terrible place. Psalms 119, 128 says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. 119, 163 says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Good place to be. And what is his law? Don't lie. One of the commandments, don't lie. Ephesians 4, 22 through 25 says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. In other words, that old junk, that old lying, evil ways of doing things, evil ways of living. Put all of that off, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. In other words, you're disrespecting your brother or your sister if you're lying to them. Total disrespect for them. You don't, in other words, if you're going to lie to them, you don't care nothing about them. No matter what you say. 29b says, and grant me thy law graciously. Grant me thy law, grant me your word graciously. Because the law is the word. Hebrews 8 and 10 says, For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. You know, just like he said, I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts. That's saying to us, that's saying, let's put this in our mind, put it in our hearts. And I mean, not just read it, but put it in there. And sometimes it takes reading it over and over and over and over. Every time you read it, you learn something new. That's right. Or it's like, oh, I didn't see that before. Because this is a living word. And it should be alive in us. Verse 30 and A says, I have chosen the way of truth. Joshua 24 and 15 says, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's telling them, look, if you're going to serve them gods that you came out of back there, then you decide that if that's what you're going to do, then do it. Or if you're going to serve the gods of where you are now, and we have gods in this world now, football, baseball, serious, those things are gods. And if we allow them to be gods in our life, and to take us from the things, from the Word, take us from the things that we need to be involved in and have our heart and mind on, then it becomes a god. Your car, a house, your kids. Sorry, but your kids can be a god if you allow them to. I just always loved that, you know, and we've got it in our house, two or three places. It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Verse 30b says, thy judgments have I laid before me. Again, getting the word of God in us. Putting it in our heart, living it. Being what it says for us to be. Deuteronomy 11 and 18 and through 20 says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, have this word so strongly in you that you don't see all that other junk. Even looking through your eyes, if you study and read the Word of God and put it in your heart so much, you know, you're going to see the Word of God in everything, because we can see the Word of God in everything if we're looking for it, if we're watching for it. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Man, that pretty much covers 24/7. I mean, it does cover 24/7. And thou shalt write them upon the door post of thine house and upon thy gates. In other words, proclaim the word of God and proclaim it over your home. Proclaim it over your life. For one thing, you proclaim the word of God over your home and over your family and over your life. It gives notice to the devil that you don't belong here. God belongs here. And he's going to be here because I have placed him here and allowed him to come in. 31a says, I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I've stuck. In other words, stayed with. He's stuck to them. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Psalm 119 and 115 says, "Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." You know, we don't have to dwell. Yes, we're to witness and to share Jesus with sinners, but that don't mean we dwell with them. That don't mean we go and partake of their ways. And because that's not showing them Jesus when you go and partake of their ways. John 8:31 and 32 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus is telling them right there, if you believe on me and you continue in my word, then you're going to be my disciples. But you got to believe. That's right. That's exactly right. 31b says, "O Lord, put me not to shame." Romans 5 and 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." We don't have to be ashamed. We're not supposed to be ashamed of God and of what He's done for us. 1 John 2 and 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in me, in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Wow. You know, if we're ashamed now, where are we going to stand when He comes back for us? Can't be ashamed. 32a says, "I will run the way of thy commandments." Isaiah 40 and 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings." I know we read this earlier. "Wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint." Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Good instruction. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." 32b says, "When thou shalt enlarge my heart." John chapter 8, 31 through 36. Said, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, and ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him," we're Abraham's seed, trying to justify themselves, "and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Ooh. Make me free, Lord. Make me free. And the last scripture that I have is 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's what I've got for tonight. Pretty good? That's good. Amen. All right. Do we have any prayer requests tonight? Keep Brother Hall in prayer. In prayer. And his puppy dogs are glad to see him. Yep. And he's happy and they're happy. I think it was kind of a challenge in there in the little shed or whatever you want to call it. The shop shed. Tight quarters, small quarters. But he made it all right. He made it all right. Okay. Well, Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name to continue to touch Brother Hall. Remember him, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let there be no more pain. And Lord, let his therapy go well, and help him to keep up with his therapy, Lord, that he regains all the strength back in that leg like it should be. And Lord, I just ask your blessings upon him. And Lord, I ask you to bless each one here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all those who came. And Lord, I ask you to let your blessing be upon each one of them, Lord, and keep us as we go home to our homes tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're dismissed. I don't know. What was it he said the other day, Brenda? He told us he... I don't remember now. He said, I need to get my car in the shop. The way you can't drive. Originally, they said, told him 6 weeks, but I don't know. Right. Yeah, left D wouldn't be so much problem to drive. No, he don't.